Glory to the King of Kings. Majesty, power and strength to the Lord of Lords. Jesus,
Lord, with eyes unveiled,
we'll see your throne. Jesus,
Prince of
Peace,
Son of
God,
Emmanuel.
Glory to the King of Kings. Majesty, power and strength to the Lord of Lords. Power and strength to the Lord of Lords. Power and strength to the Lord of Lords.
So far, 9 states in the United States of America have legalized same-sex marriage. Those states are Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Vermont, and Washington on the West Coast. Furthermore, the District of Columbia has also legalized it. In all the media attention given to this development, no reporter has ever used the word sodomy. I wonder why that is the case. Hello, I'm Larry Murdock. I preach for the Gandy Church of Christ. Good morning and welcome to this program. I hope you will hear me in a gospel meeting this week at the Deerfield Church of Christ. This afternoon service will be at 2 p.m., Monday through Wednesday night, the meetings begin at 7 p.m. I hope you have an opportunity to attend this meeting. My New World Webster's Dictionary defines sodomy as abnormal sexual intercourse, such as between persons of the same sex or between a person and an animal. But this definition and the word itself are taken from the Bible city named Sodom. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah were the twin cities of the Fertile Plain, situated at the south end of the Jordan River Valley. In ancient times, the Jordan River diffused into this lush valley after its narrow 130-mile run from the foot of Mount Hermon in the north. Sodom and Gomorrah, along with a couple more towns, were the cities of commerce in this lush valley. It was there that Abraham's nephew Lot decided to live. Abraham and Lot and their families had been together for a long time. They had journeyed together throughout the land of Palestine. However, there came a time when the herdsmen of these two men could not get along with one another. And so Abraham said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And so Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. And so Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. And so they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. And then the record says this, "Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." Genesis 13, verses 8 to 13. No doubt that Abram and Lot's enterprises had become so large that the country was not big enough for them. Not enough grazing, not enough water, and so Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Abraham, in the meantime, also journeyed, and he settled at the Oaks of Mamre, which was located about 20 or 25 miles west of Sodom. It was there that Abraham met three men who were on their way to Sodom. As it turned out, these three persons were angels sent by the Lord to personally observe the sin of Sodom. Well, by this personal observation, I believe that God was justifying in the eyes of people, in the eyes of Abraham and all humanity, what God was about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, And what he was about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain would be remembered from then on because of the destruction that was left behind. Abraham entertained those divine persons with food and milk. While eating, the leader of the three foretold that Sarah would have a son. Well, Sarah overheard it from the tent, and she laughed. Then the record says, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied that she laughed, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. But the individual said, "No, you did laugh." Genesis 18:13-15. Well, the men set out from there. They looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. And the Lord said to himself, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" Genesis 18:16-17. The Lord then told Abraham why they were going to Sodom. Of course, Abraham knew that his nephew Lot was at Sodom, and so he humbly stood before the leader, stopped his progress, and asked him, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it?" Genesis 18:23-24. Well, the Lord assured Abraham that if he found even 10 in the city of Sodom who was righteous, he would not destroy the city. When the conversation ended, the Lord went on his way toward Sodom, and Abraham returned to the Oaks of Mamre. Well, while Abraham had been talking with the Lord, the other two angels continued their journey to Sodom. And that evening, the two angels arrived in Sodom while Lot was sitting near the city gate. When Lot saw them, he got up, he bowed down low, and he said, "Gentlemen, I am your servant. Please come to my home. You can wash your feet, spend the night, and be on your way in the morning." They told him, "No, we'll spend the night in the city square." But Lot kept insisting until they finally agreed and went home with him. He baked some bread, cooked a meal, and they ate. Before Lot and his guests could go to bed, however, every man in Sodom, young and old, came and stood outside his house and started shouting, "Where are your visitors? Send them out so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside. He shut the door behind him. And then he said to the crowd, "Friends, please don't do such a terrible thing. I have two daughters who have never been married. I'll bring them out, and you can do what you want with them. But don't harm these men. They are guests in my home." Can you believe what Lot is doing here on behalf of his guests? But the men of the city were not interested in the women. They wanted the men. And so they answered, "Don't get in our way. You're an outsider. What right do you have to order us around? We'll do worse things to you than we're going to do to them." The crowd kept arguing with Lot. Finally, they rushed toward the door to break it down. But the two angels in the house reached out, pulled Lot safely inside, and then they struck everyone in the crowd blind, and none of them could even find the door. Genesis 19:1-11. Well, friends, needless to say, the angels learned firsthand about the sins of the Sodomites. Is it any wonder why homosexuality is called sodomy? Early the next morning, the two angels tried to make Lot hurry and leave. They said, "Take your wife, take your two daughters, and get out of here as fast as you can. If you don't, every one of you will be killed when the Lord destroys this city." Well, at first, Lot just stood there, not knowing what to do, I suppose. But the Lord wanted to save him. And so the angels took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. Genesis 19:15-16. The sun was coming up as Lot reached the town of Zoar, the place, the little city, to which the angels allowed Lot to flee. And the Lord sent burning sulfur down like rain on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those cities and everyone who lived in them, as well as their land, the trees, and the grass that grew there. Genesis 19:23-25. The Lord's destruction of this huge area, friends, can still be seen today. That's right. We call that place today the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea extends for over 50 miles as a continuation of the Jordan River Valley. That fresh water from the Jordan flows into this Dead Sea, into the saltiest water on the face of the earth. And true to its name, nothing in that area is alive except the tourists who want to see it, and perhaps the workers who mine its natural minerals of bitumen, tar, sulfur, brimstone, and salt. In the New Testament book of Jude, the writer says that we should also be warned by what happened to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the nearby towns. Their people became immoral and did all sorts of sexual sins. Then God made an example of them and punished them with eternal fire. The people I am talking about, Jude says, are behaving just like those dreamers who destroyed their own bodies. They reject all authority and insult even angels. Jude 1:7-8. Friends, Jesus' apostle Paul also warned Christians in the Corinthian letter, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. Friends, homosexuality is sexual immorality. That's right. People must flee from the sin of sexual immorality in all of its forms. The Christian was bought with a price. The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ was purchased with the blood of God's own Son, Jesus. So says Acts 20:28. If homosexuality is thus condemned, then why should people today attempt to cleanse it by giving it a sacred name like marriage? The only way sin can be cleansed is by the precious blood of Jesus, and the only way a person can access that cleansing blood is through faith, repentance, and immersion in water. That obedience is a person's reception of the great blood-bought forgiveness that Jesus has purchased. Repentance, friends, means the quitting of sin. Same-sex marriage, so-called, is no marriage at all. Isaiah predicted this day was coming in the world when he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." Isaiah 5:20-21. Friend, if you are a sinner after this sort, will you repent of your sins? Will you come to Jesus for cleansing? The Gandhi Church of Christ would like to invite you to worship with us today at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock this evening. Remember again, the Deerfield meeting this week. At 2 o'clock this afternoon is the afternoon service for the Deerfield Church. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, the meeting begins at 7 p.m. Come and bless us with your attendance. Thank you for listening today.
Good day, man.